Hey, good evening. This is behavioral scientist Tanola Oliver, and thank you so much for joining me for the Making of the Mogul radio show, where the dream is free and the hustle is sold separately. I wanted to jump on here today just for one moment because I feel like I've erred. And I need to make amends and repair the situation. And so bear with me one moment. All right. So I probably should have. And so I feel like I have erred or left some room for people's imaginations. And it is never my intention for anybody to feel left out when I'm doing these comparative analysis or broaching the topic of entertainment. And so I feel like I've left some room for error, as I said, and I need to make amends and make things right. And so I was on the internet the other day and I made a comment about, who was it? So I don't even really know how to unpack this topic because, so let me start out with, any character, actor, actress that makes the cut to appear on any of the Power series, any of the produced, Curtis 50 Cent Jackson produced networks, right? And I'm talking about BMF, I'm talking about Power series, the spinoffs, all of that. The people that work underneath the umbrella of those particular brands are very picky about the talent that they choose, right? And so they have carefully choose individuals, actors and actresses that A, attractive, B, sex appeal, or C, something very distinctive about their personification, whether it's how they talk, how they walk, how they carry themselves, the characterization, personification that they bring to the screen. On the outside, looking in as an enthusiast, right? Someone who loves the art of entertainment, television, theater, acting. They carefully choose their actors and actresses, right? Based on their wow effect, right? And so the other day, I think it was last week, I pinpointed Lorenz Tate and I pinpointed Method Man. And I think his government name, right, might be Craig. Is his government? I don't have time to look it up. Anyway, so I mentioned, right, on the platform on Twitter for the Make Another Mogul magazine that the Power series had really done a 180 on the brand for Lorenz Tate and Method Man. And I said that as a compliment because, number one, it is true, right? Like, Method Man looks like a totally different, his personification. I mean, it's a totally different, version of himself, right? And so I said that as a compliment to the support team for the Power series, right? And how they brand their talent, like that's major, right? Particularly Lorenz Tate. And so often when I navigate to this space, I'm talking about actors and actresses that have been typecasted, right? And so it takes a very talented individual behind the scenes to be able to work the characterization and the personification to change the perception, because it's all perception of an individual entertainer, right? Particularly when they have been branded heavily as one thing, despite the fact that that may not even be their real personification or characterization, but it's what they had to do at the time to sell, right? And so we have seen, particularly Method Man, his characterization and personification do a 180 degree turn. Lorenz Tate as well, when we look at how throughout the years how he has been branded, right? Like, whoever is working behind the scenes with them, I mean, has done a tremendous job. It was not my intent to take away from the brand of Little Meech, right? Or Da Vinci, who are the lead actors for the BMF series. Da Vinci and Demetrius Flannery have both brought amazing talent to the BMF series, right? I don't know if Da Vinci was a, I think Da Vinci was an actor prior to, but we know Demetrius Flannery was not. He has done amazing and phenomenal work. Listen, I think, right, because I'm always on this platform and there's so much controversy sometimes associated with what I say. And so I think there was so much anticipation for me to rush to this platform and talk about Demetrius Flannery's sex scene on BMF, okay? But listen, you have to. So I am a mother, right? I am a mother, and when you think about the, so let me just say first and foremost, the sex scene was on fleek. Whatever word y'all using right now, the sex scene was off the hook. We were sold as an audience. It was amazing. It was lifelike. It was real. Everybody's talking about it. I didn't have the unction to run to this platform and talk about it because I see Demetrius Flannery as he's in that age group. right? That I don't really look at him like that as it relates to sex appeal, right? I don't, that's not the lens and the perspective that I see him, right? And you have to think back about, like, I raised teenage sons, right? And then so without so it's not, I just don't look at it through that lens and perspective. But as an enthusiast who enjoys the art of entertainment, it was an amazing scene, right? One of the best, and as a matter of fact, that scene probably topped, right? The scene that 50 Cent, Curtis 50 Cent Jackson, actually performed in himself in his sex scene. There's no way we could have missed, right, that particular sex scene. And I thought the acting, I thought the setting of the scene, I thought the everything about it was phenomenal. I didn't run to this platform and talk about it because that's not how I process Demetrius Flannery. Like, right? When I look at Demetrius Flannery and Da Vinci, I'm looking at the show through the lens and perspective and eyes of a mother, right? That's the first thing. And then the additional thing, I think they feel as if I have shortchanged the show by not talking to it. And that is not it. It's so one, let me say that this particular platform, it has it has a lot of critics. And when I say critics, I'm saying from the perspective of how does she relate to this material? And so I am very intentional about not talking about anything that could be misconstrued as something that has unpacked in 20, 30 years ago, or anything that looks relational, right? Or relative to anything, right? The neighborhood I grew up in, the community I lived in, any of that, right? I don't talk to it. And so for me, I talk about things that are more theatrical, right? There is a lot of relativity to this particular show as it relates to my childhood, right? And I never want anybody to make the comparison, right? And when I say it is it can be seen through the lens and the perspective of the neighborhood that I grew up in. And so I never want to make those associations because people take what I say on this platform very seriously, right? And I never want anything that I say to be misconstrued as real life people or situations and circumstances. And so I don't touch it, right? I don't touch it. And that is the only reason why. But I think the show, I think the actors are amazing. I think the I think the storyline is dangerous, right? I think the storyline is dangerous, and I'm gonna just leave it at that. And so I think anytime you attempt to tell a real story, it makes entertainment dangerous, right? not to a perspective that I think we have to be very careful when we're depicting the life of real people, right? And so we know that this is the real story of the Flannerys. And to a certain degree, it can be dangerous, right? Retelling those type of stories. And so I think that that's what makes it dangerous. I can only imagine, right? How this story is unpacking in the lives and the ears and the eyes of people that that live in Detroit, right? Like I can only imagine. And so that's why I don't put a lot of energy or a lot of conversation to it, because it's supposed to be a real depiction of somebody's life. And I think the worst thing that an enthusiast can do is to add commentary to somebody's real situations. Like, right? Like, I wasn't there. I don't know the people. And so a lot of what we know is hearsay, right? If you were on that scene back in the day, like when Freaknik and you know, the highways, there was a, you know, it's a lot. And so I don't add my commentary to it, because I think it's a dangerous story to tell, number one. And it's a dangerous story to unpack. And like I said, I can only imagine what the energy feels like in Detroit as this story has been unpacking, or potentially even in Atlanta. And so, of course, you have to tweak the story so that they don't look like real characters and real people, I'm assuming, right? I would hope so. But I haven't been able to put a lot of energy behind it because it's a real story. And I think it deserves what it deserves, right? I think privilege makes people feel like we have a right to speak to anything and say anything about anything and anybody without respect to the fact that this is a real story. This is somebody's real life. And for me to put my commentary on somebody's lived experience, when people have went to jail and people have died and a community has been ravished, that's not what I want associated with my brand. That's not what I do. Because I know that there is a lot of emotions and a lot of energy right now in Detroit. I have family in Detroit, and it's just, that's not what I do, right? That's not what I do. I consider myself a healer, right? A person that comes to this space and creates a safe space for people to be able to express, right? And to be able to hear and heal, right? And so that's why I'm making it a point to say that I think the BMF brand, it has its place in entertainment. I think it's dangerous, right? I think personally, I just think it's very dangerous. And there's a lot of narratives happening within the BMF. I think that there are a lot of fictitious characterization, but only the people know, right? I'm sure only the people know in Detroit where the fictitious is wrapped in what's real. And I honor people's journeys enough to keep my mouth shut. It's not my place. And I think that the actors do an amazing job. And I think that's enough. I don't think it deserves any of my commentary. Seriously, it's dangerous. I just can't say that enough. Like, the narrative, it's dangerous. And I wouldn't dare add my commentary to it, but I felt like I've been reading some of the blogs. I ran across one of the media pages of Demetrius Flannery, and I think they feel like I've cheated them out of commentary, and it's only because it's out of honor and respect for the story that's being told. It's not because I don't think that the story has value or has a place in the entertainment space. I just think we don't always have to plug ourselves into the culture and the experiences of other people, because that's robbery, right? And it's a lack of integrity. And they deserve to be able to, and this is literally, right? Big Meechie's son. And I think he deserves the respect and the honor to play the part of his father without somebody placing their commentary on, number one, how they feel like he played the role of his father, and then how that story unpacked and the events and how it happened and all of that. I think it just deserves to be seen, right? And not commented on, because I think it's very dangerous. And so to the directors, to the actors, to the writers, stay dangerous, right? But it would not be a story that I would want to write. I would feel some sense of responsibility, right? It wouldn't be something that I would want to write. It wouldn't be. Because again, it's been a while since I've been to Detroit, but when these type of stories unpack, I can only imagine what the energy is in Detroit. And Detroit has always been off the hook. So I can only imagine what the energy is around this storyline. I think it's dangerous. And it does not need my commentary. But again, I'm in this space because I don't want the actors or the actresses to feel like they haven't done an amazing job at unpacking the story through their talent and their exhibit of their ability as actors and actresses. I think they've done an amazing job. I would like to see, I think what I wrote on Twitter was that I felt the writers were angry, right? I felt that the writers were angry. And while I understand the depiction of this is a real story, and the purpose is to bring mainstream media into a story and tell a story, but I think some of the things that they've unpacked that are not a true storyline whatsoever. They created those narratives to detract or distract from some of the real storyline, and they've done that in a way that I think is. It feels toxic to me. And y'all know I very seldomly say, I'm all for the production and the writing and the programs and the I support the brand of Curtis 50 Cent Jackson 100%, and I believe in what he does, right? And I'm saying that not as a woman, right? Because I think a lot of people have confused my platform, but I'm saying that as a behavioral scientist. And what he has to offer to society in the form of artistry as an enthusiast, and unpacking stories and telling stories and moving the needle forward on entertainment. While I think BMF had its place in entertainment, and I just think the space is dangerous. I think that there's a lot of toxicity in it, that the intentionality of it is to be a distraction to some of the real storylines, so that to protect, right? To protect the real people behind the story. But I think it was done in a toxic way. I felt like the writers were angry. I felt some of the directing was irresponsible. And I say that from a healthy place. Like, let's tell healthy stories and not make perception is really, really important. And I think we have to be careful, right? And while I understand some of the fictional stuff about the storyline is there as a distraction from the real storyline, that there was a way to do it in a more healthy way, so that it would not be an unhealthy narrative. And I'll explain what I mean. One of the things that, as a comedy enthusiast and somebody who has participated in stand-up comedy, one of the things that used to bother me in watching some of the comedians is that it bothered me when they talked about their children in a negative way. And there were quite a few comedians that would talk about their children in a way that, and I always wondered how the temperature was in their household, right? Because what people don't realize, like, there's two different types of art, right? There's art that pulls from real life. Most people think that all forms of art, all music, all songwriting, all acting, theater, it is because art comes from a place of connectivity, right? People assume that all art stems from truth, right? And it doesn't. Like, there's two different types of art. Art that stems from truth, and then art that just stems from a narrative that is completely untrue, right? But it's funny, right? You know what I'm saying? And what's dangerous about it is that if you exist in that culture, you know the difference, right? You know the difference between what's true and what's false. If you exist outside of the culture, you don't have a compass or a litmus test from understanding or knowing or discerning the true art from the art that is not true. And so it paints this picture, and it begins to create a lens and a perspective in the eyes of people who don't belong to the culture, that this is what truth looks like for this particular demographic of people. And so it used to bother me. You know, one of my platforms for the foundation is advocacy for children. And that has been a part of me since I was a child, right? I think I told this story before, that I have always been advocating for young people, for youth. Even when I was in school and I had to advocate for my peers for whatever reason. And so as it relates to creating false narratives and how particular comedians used to talk about their children, it used to bother me because I was in an educational space. And I could see some of my peers that existed outside of the culture processing children through that lens and perspective that was not true, that was false. But because unless you exist within the culture, you don't know what's true and what's not true, then you just assume that those things are true and you begin to process and see kids of that demographic, right? That you begin to ascribe children within those parameters, and it's not a true story. And so when I look at BMF, and again, I'm looking at it above anything else, I'm looking at it as a mother, right? And so when I see Terry and Big Meech, I'm looking at it from a perspective of a mother. And I think the narrative is, I just think it's dangerous. I think it's dangerous because it's a true story. But people outside of the culture don't have the ability to, they don't have a filter or a lens of perspective and understanding what's true and what's not true. That's one thing. And then when you put stories like this on the big screen, it feels less real. Like, right? Like, people don't understand that this is real stuff, right? Like murder is real in the inner city, right? Danger is real. Fear is a choice. Danger is real in the inner city. And it causes people to have it numbs people to the reality of danger and the reality of what happens within the inner city and the reality of how those narratives play out of innocent children who didn't have the ability to become or to dream and become whatever they wanted to dream and become, and this was the only way, and it becomes a story that is being told on a screen that people no longer think that it's a real thing, right? Because it becomes familiar. But this is real and this is dangerous, and there is a sense of responsibility that society has towards this type of characterization, narrativization, and the social responsibility behind it. And I'm talking as a behavioral scientist, right? And the lens and the perspective and how people process what they see, right? But the acting is phenomenal for the most part, right? It's just, and I haven't talked about it and I haven't given a lot of commentary to it because I think some stories, particularly true stories, deserve to be told without me feeling like that I'm entitled to put my two cents on it, right? Like, this, I don't care how much education I have. I don't care how much opinion I have. I don't care if I can relate or not relate, or what I think or how I feel. These are real people, right? This is a real story. This is a real community. This is a real city that was torn apart. These are real lives that were affected. And from a humanistic perspective, it deserves people to watch it with grace and with mercy, and know that there is a community right now being affected in a different type of way, watching it, right? I can only imagine, right? But I felt there was a lot of, I felt like, that the artistry felt cheated, right? Because there's not a, you hear so much about power and you don't really hear a lot about BMF. And that's because people that come from where I come from know it, it just ain't to be talked about, right? But it makes the artistry behind it feel cheated. And so that's my two cents. Meech, the sex scene was off the hook, right? You did that. The chick that was in it with you, she did that. And it was amazing exhibit of artistry. I looked at it from the perspective of a mother, but I know your inbox is probably off the hook, all right? And so this is to note behavior scientist Tanola Oliver, Hakuna Matata. Peace.